All right, so let me switch up. Let's talk some golf. We are joined by a PGA Tour pro. He won the Houston Open Sunday, his first career PGA Tour win, number one in the FedEx Cup standings, top 20 finishes in all five starts this season. He won multiple events on the Korn Ferry Tour, a Colonial Athletic Association Player of the Year at VCU. Lonto Griffin is my guest. Lonto, good to have you on. How are you?
Great, Jim. Thanks for having me.
Really good to have you. In fact, I've been looking forward to it because of your journey, and I want to get into that. But if we talk first about what happened in Houston, you've had a few days for it to sink in. How does it feel to know that you're a PGA winner, and does it feel the way you thought it would?
Oh, that's a good question. It's been a whirlwind. There's just so many things going through my head, constantly waking up at 4 a.m. and not being able to go back to sleep, but yeah, just knowing that I got some job security for the next, 3 years out here on the PGA Tour. And I mean, this is 100% my dream job. I don't want to do anything else. And just knowing that I'm going to be starting the year out in Maui at the Century Tournament of Champions and the Players Championship and the Masters. There's just so much to be excited about.
Lonto Griffin joining us. I know exactly what you're talking about because I know the backstory, but for those who don't know, I want to go back and I want to be really sensitive about this because there's a lot of emotion attached to it, but it's really inspiring. You were born in Mount Shasta, California, and you moved to Virginia. The story goes that your mom, Julie, was a gardener and your father, Michael, ran a health food store. But as you've said, your dad would always rather spend time with you and your siblings and coach your baseball and soccer teams. So what were those days like for you growing up?
Oh, they were amazing. Yeah, my dad wouldn't, he wouldn't miss an opportunity to throw a catch with me in the yard or go to a soccer game. And we just had a lot of love. I mean, my mom has a master's in teaching, but she was a stay-at-home mom, and we did homeschooling for a while. But I was addicted to sports. Anything with a ball at an early age, football, soccer, basketball. I wasn't huge into golf, but we grew up next to a 9-hole golf course in Blacksburg, Virginia, and it was called The Hill. And I'd go over there and play all day, 36, 45. I think it was $9 to play all day. And so I kind of fell in love with it there. And my dad, before he passed away, got me hooked up with, the local country club, Blacksburg Country Club, and Steve Prater kind of took me under his wing. And when my dad passed away, he gave me a full membership, and the rest is history. I used golf to kind of as an outlet, kind of get away from the tragedy that hit me. And it was just awesome to be able to, focus on getting really good at golf versus, the negative stuff that I'd gone through at kind of a vulnerable age. So it's everything happens for a reason. And it's just kind of a good example of how to turn a negative into a positive.
I really appreciate that response. Lonto Griffin is my guest. I want to make sure that the listeners understand what we're talking about here. Your father bought you a starter set of clubs for Christmas in 1996. He passed away from a brain tumor when you were just 12. How would you describe your father and the impact he had on you? What was he like?
Just loving. I mean, tough. It's tough to talk about, but just a great dad and everything you ever want.
Lonto Griffin, my guest, I know it. And that's why I wanted to treat this with the kind of respect that it really deserves. But you mentioned Steve Prater. You mentioned Steve Prater, and he was the head pro at Blacksburg Country Club. He reached out to you. What was his message to you, and what kind of a role has he played in all of this?
He's been like a fill-in dad. I mean, we've had so many conversations over the years, and anytime in sports, there's always doubts, and you need those. You need the stables. There's always criticism, whether you're having a bad stretch or you don't believe in yourself. You need those people in sports to believe in you, and that's always been what I've had with Steve. And nobody's believed in my game and talent more than he has, and he's shown it. I mean, he's never charged me for less than 17 years. That's very rare. He's never asked for anything, and the starting of this PGA Tour season. I finally realized it's time to start giving back to him. And so I put him on payroll before the Greenbrier. The first thing he said was, don't think this means you can treat me like an employee because, So we've had our relationship is special and we get along great. And so the fact that I've got off to a great start and won this week, it's really cool to give back to not only Steve, but all the other people that have made my career possible because growing up, we didn't have a ton of money, but we had all the love in the world. And a lot of people, are part of my journey, and that's kind of the cool part. You know, I won on Sunday, but I got off the course and had 700 text messages, and being able to, you know, look at the people that opened their wallets for me on in amateur golf and mini tours for 7 years, to, you know, just kind of share this win with them, it kind of validates that, you know, they made the right decision and believing in me, and that's that means more to me than the win itself.
Lonto Griffin is joining us. You know, when you talk about those who believed in you, you'll always remember those who had your back and those who did believe. The story goes that you wanted to play at Virginia Tech, but they didn't have a spot for you. How challenging a time was that?
It was tough. I mean, you know, I grew up a huge, you know, Virginia Tech LSU fan. I still am. It just didn't work out. They didn't have, there was no seniors leaving the year I was coming in, and it just, I had my heart set on it. That was the only place I wanted to go, and it didn't work out. But Matt Ball at VCU, he came to me, and he offered me a full scholarship. And honestly, getting out of my comfort zone, going to a large city compared to what I grew up in Blacksburg, I think it made me grow up, you know, being away from family. And VCU is an incredible school. Obviously, everybody knows them for basketball. But it's just a tight-knit community. And I think, it's, like I said earlier, everything works out for the right reason. And I wouldn't change it for the world.
Right. I've also heard you say that actually was the best thing that could have happened to you because, among other things, at VCU, you learned how to work. You learned how to grind. You got your work ethic there. What do you remember about that time there, and what did you learn about work ethic at VCU?
Yeah, so freshman year, I was, I wasn't ready for the big stage. You know, college athletics is, it's no joke. I mean, the players are great. And I had a teammate, Mark Jargon from Sweden, come in my sophomore year that, he was a freshman, and we're best friends to this day. But that kid worked, you know, he worked so darn hard in the gym and practicing that it almost pissed the rest of those players off because he made us look bad. The coach, he was a freshman coming in and outworking everybody. And I say outworking, I don't mean an extra 30 minutes a day. I'm talking, you know, getting to the gym an hour before the rest of the team does so he can get a full workout in and get into the range on off days and grinding. So in the beginning, it was kind of like, you know, what's this kid doing? He's making me look bad. And then I kind of realized this guy's a genius. And I learned a ton from him. And it was actually his birthday on Sunday in Houston when I won. So, and he told me that was the best birthday present he could ever imagine. But I owe him a lot. My work ethic, you know, everybody thinks they work hard until they meet somebody that works harder than they do. And there's always somebody that's going to work harder than you. Luckily, I learned that in college, because if I hadn't learned it in college, I wouldn't, you know, there's no way I'd be where I am today.
Preach. I mean, that's the absolute truth. Lonto Griffin joining us. You know, I can go on and on with the story, but you won in places like South America and on the Corn Ferry Tour, and you had to keep grinding this thing out. You got a PGA Tour card, and then it didn't work out, and then you went back to the Corn Ferry Tour, and there's a story about you being at a dinner in the Bahamas, and Greg Norman spoke. What do you remember about what he said, and what was your takeaway from that?
Yeah, it was at Exuma, and then Greg Norman designed the golf course there, and he's a big influence in golf, and I just listened to him. He was giving a talk, and I think somebody asked him, you know, what do you look for in young players, and his response was, I don't look for the guys that are winning and then missing five cuts in a row, or, you know, just that Cinderella story. He's like, I look for the guys that are constantly finishing top 20, top 15, throwing a win here, but the consistency. And immediately I started thinking back to my first year on the Corn Ferry Tour. You know, I had a win. I had like maybe one or two other top tens, but I had a lot of 50, 60, 70th place finishes that, you know, those weeks are tough because you don't make up much traction on the year. And going to the PGA Tour last year, same thing. You know, I had one top 25. I had a lot of, you know, I think I made 13 or 14 cuts, but majority of those finishes were bottom of the pack. So when I heard Greg say that, it kind of rang a bell, and I started thinking, what do I need to do to be consistently finishing, you know, top 25 on an average week? And, you know, it came down to short game, and it came down to, you know, grinding out every week, every shot. And the Corn Ferry Tour this season, I think I had 11 top 22s, and to have five top 20s and a win to start the PGA Tour season, man, huge shout out to Greg Norman. That was just, you never know, you know, when you say something, it can resonate, even certain people, and listening to a legend say that, it struck a bell with me, and I'm going to run with it.
Lonzo Griffin, my guest for another moment or so. You know, you reached a point where you were actually down to $176 to your name. We talked about your dad. One of the goals back in the day was to make enough money to buy your mom a car. What's it like knowing that you can do that now? And have the two of you picked one out yet?
She's a Subaru, for life, and she's never had a Subaru. I don't think she's ever had even a new used car, so it's going to be pretty cool. We're working on the details now, but it's going to be a Subaru Outback or a Subaru Forester, and to be able to see the look on her face when I hand the keys over to her is going to be a memory I'll never forget.
He won the Houston Open on Sunday for his first career PGA Tour win, number one in the FedEx Cup standings, top 20s in all five starts this year. Lonzo Griffin, my guest. My man, really nice to have you on the show. Congrats. I really enjoyed that conversation, and I hope we can do it again soon, Lonzo.
Thanks, man. I'm a huge fan of your show, and I appreciate you having me on.
That was great, man. I appreciate you very much. What an amazing story that is, and really good to talk to you. Lonzo Griffin, that's a great conversation, an amazing story. And there's even more. I couldn't cover his entire journey in one segment, but that was fun. That was great. 1-800-636-8686. I mean, I loved everything about that story.